This is I'm Gonna Count to Three, the Metro Parent Magazine podcast. I'm Amy Schwabe, the editor of Metro Parent, and I'm here again with Matt Colby, who is...
I'm a graphics and content producer for Now Media Group.
Today we're going to talk about parks and playgrounds in Southeast Wisconsin that we love going to with our kids. And then we're going to talk about the feature article from the May Metro Parent, which was kind of about a day in the life of moms, but we're also going to talk about dads. Then the third thing we're going to talk about, just sweet things that our kids have done for us. I know that as we record this, it's like 50 degrees and horrible outside, but it was like 80 degrees two days ago, right?
Yep. And now it's sad and gloomy and cold and
yeah, rainy. Now it's horrible, but summer will be coming back. So
we think.
We hope. So Metro Parent has run a kind of a directory of parks and playgrounds that has been extremely popular because, you know, we all want to know where the best place to take our kids is. I will say it is in no way exhaustive, so we always like input from our readers and now our listeners on what playgrounds are awesome. The ones that I have been noticing lately are all the accessible playgrounds that have been popping up. I don't know, have you been to any of those with your kids?
I haven't.
I know we've been to the one in Oconomowoc, which is called...
Is it the Imagination
Station? It's Imagination Station, thank you. I was thinking like Discovery or... No, it's Imagination Station. And that one's awesome. The cool thing about the accessible playgrounds is it's for kids, you know, with wheelchairs. They have buddy swings. You can go on with wheelchairs. You can go on with your parents. They have these slides, I guess, that don't have interference for, and I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, cochlear implants. It's something with your ear, like hearing loss. Yep. They also have like sensory things for kids with autism and things like that. So it's great. And the whole purpose is to help kids be able to play who have these disabilities, but it's also for kids who don't. It's for everybody to play. And there's only one entrance and exit. So you know, if you're stationed near there, even if you don't see your kids for a certain amount of time, you know they haven't gotten by you.
Sure.
Which is cool because a lot of these places have all these like places where you can play hide and seek and just tunnels and all that stuff, and my kids love doing that. So I have lost sight of them for, you know, I don't want to say how long. I'm not a bad mother. Right. But I know that they haven't gotten out. So that's a cool feature. We've also, the one that we go to more often, though, is the Kayla's Playground in Franklin, because that's right in our neighborhood. That one, we actually know more of the history of that one because Kayla, her family did the fundraising for it. She was a girl who had cerebral palsy. And she was in a wheelchair, so her mom wanted to do this playground. And my kids love a lot of things about the playground. One of the things they really love is, okay, do you know, like, back when I was a kid, they would have those, like, merry-go-rounds, like those metal things.
Yep.
And, you know, you get on them, and then one kid is off and, like, runs around and then jumps on. Yep. And I'm pretty sure the way they used to be designed was a death trap.
Right.
Yeah. I remember being on there and being like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to die because you're like spinning around and you feel like you're going to spin off. But the way that they're designed now, they're much safer. And so my kids love going on those. They have those there. And I think that they're also accessible for kids with wheelchairs. There is the directory online with all of these playgrounds listed. So that will definitely be something that I will link to after this podcast. So what do you have, Matt?
My kids like going to Cushing Park in Delafield. It's about a mile away from where I grew up. And it's really cool. It's a big, their playground's called Fort Cushing. It's a big wooden playground, like plastic slide and stuff like that. But it's pretty large. It was redone, I want to say, about 15, 17 years ago.
Okay.
And it really is a nice playground. And it's in Cushing Park, which also has soccer fields. It has the Bark River right there. You can do fishing. You can do picnics. There's a covered bathroom, so that's on site.
Nice.
There's even war memorials there. There's all the Cushing brother history in Delafield. There's the memorial walkway where they have different stops along a path for the different memorials and different wars and stuff. And it's just a really big, open, pretty place to go. And my kids love the playground there. They've got bridges, they have towers, they have everything there.
It's like a fort.
Yeah, it's like a fort. It's really cool. And it's all, like I said, wooden and plastic tubing and all that stuff there. And it's wood chips, so it's not too hard on the kids' feet or anything like that. And yeah, they just love going under. Like, any place you can go under, there's something under there they can play with. Anywhere you go on top of, there's stuff there they can play with. And it's just a really good park.
It seems like a lot of playgrounds now are kind of doing that, where it's like everywhere you go, there's something to do. It's not just, you know.
Yeah, there's no dead space or anything like
they're
that. Like, yeah.
They're good at designing them.
Yep.
I wanted to talk about one more park. I don't know. Have you been to Grant Park?
I don't think so.
It's in, I believe it's South Milwaukee. But the cool thing about Grant Park is it has a lot of different areas. There are some great playground structures that they have there. But then they have, like, woods, like, with trails and, like, bridges. I think it's called, like, the Seven Bridges. But the cool thing is you go on these trails, and I will say I have to force my kids to walk on trails sometimes. I don't know about yours, but... I don't know if you try to force them to take hikes, but I always know. But they're like, oh, I'm so tired after they've been walking for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And these are the children, and I know you've been to Disney World recently too. These are the children who, just in January, we went to Disney World, and they walk no less than 5 or 6 miles a day.
Yeah.
Not a complaint out of
right,
them. But of course, I mean, we're in Disney World, so you can't really compare, I guess. But the cool thing is, once you get to the end of these trails, it's the lake. Like Michigan is right there, and it's gorgeous. I went to Grant Park when I was a kid, and I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to do this, but when we went with my dad and my mom, and we would, like, walk on the rocks in the river. I guess it's a river. I'm not a river. Like a brook that goes to the... Last podcast, I talked about stealing lilacs from neighbors,
and
this is the extent of my criminal history. Like, and I'm not encouraging any of this illegal activity, but it is a fun place to go. So I would encourage that one too. In our May Metro Parent, our feature story was called "What Do You Do All Day?" and it was kind of a day in the life of moms. And of course, as I said before, we will include dads as well. The reason I wanted to write about that is just, I think that, and for me, I was a stay-at-home mom for many years, and I feel like a lot of times when that's your primary role, you kind of want to justify what you do all day. And which is completely in my head. Like, nobody was asking, nobody wanted me to say, okay, tell me exactly what you're doing to make sure you're being productive. After talking to a lot of moms, they all want to talk about what they do during the day. And I think a big part of it as a parent is, like, just the crazy multitasking that you have to do. It's funny to listen to, and it's also, you know, you're kind of commiserating with parents like, oh my gosh, this is the crazy stuff that I'm doing.
Well, and it's amazing how fast 7 or 8 hours of school can go.
Yeah.
Like, in a day.
yeah, it is. It's all, And then all of a sudden they're there and you have to, you know, try to get stuff done when they're there. And one of the things, like, when I was writing, I kind of did in my editor's note, I wrote a little bit about one of the crazy days that I had. And it was funny because the day I wrote about was Wendy's birthday. When it's a school day and then you have to go to school on your birthday, I mean, you want to try to make it a little special.
Right.
So in my mind, it was like, how am I going to make sure we have this special day for her while, you know, I have to go to work and Jonathan has to go to work and the kids have to go to school? And then we realized that we had to figure out a time on that day to take Alex to the doctor because she had a cough. And so I didn't want to do it after school because I wanted to make sure Wendy's day was special. So, you know, I had to call school and I'd be like, oh, I got an appointment for her. And so I did that. And then the school called me back and told, like, within 5 minutes and told me that Wendy had fallen off of the playground structure and that she was in the office. So it was like a long, long, crazy day. But it ended up being that she actually was hurt, but nothing was broken. But and this is bad, but the penultimate, like, takeaway from that day was, wow, it is so convenient that she got hurt when I already had a doctor's appointment set up so she could get in on that. And it's like, it's just kind of like, because, I mean, as a parent, you know, it's like, okay, well, I have to take the kid to the doctor today, and then something else happens, and now I have to take the other kid to the doctor the next day. And it's like, it was a super mom moment for me, being able to take both of them and get it taken care of.
Yep.
But I don't know. Do you have any crazy?
Well, not anything like that, but...
Oh, I'm sure you do if you thought about it.
I guess. One of the things that I like being able to do before the kids get home from school is do all, like, the errands, like going to grocery shop and stuff.
So you don't have to take them with you.
Yeah, because when they get home from school, they can be a little tired or a little cranky, and they don't like going out after they get home. And
you've described how they are, and what did you say about them at the grocery store?
They turn into crazy people.
Okay,
They just don't want to stay by me, and they start to just not listen all the time. And so it's just easier if I can do that stuff with them still at school, and then I can get home and just be there, and then we can do homework and
And you kind of want stuff. You want to be able to do stuff with them too, not just...
Right. So it's always kind of a race against the clock, like when I leave work, to be able to do all the errands I need to run and then get home in time to get them off the bus. Because they're both off the bus by 4:45.
Yeah.
And so it's tight some days.
That's another thing about my... You're very scheduled. It's like, all right, by 3:17, I have to be doing this.
Yep, if I'm not on the road by this time, I'm not going to make it home. Yep. So it takes some work, but you get into the routine and you do.
It all works out.
Yep.
When I was talking to one of the moms, she's a stay-at-home mom of 3 kids under 5.
Okay.
Which is insane to me, but I was talking to her on the phone and interviewing her for writing this feature. She kept apologizing. She's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, you know, I have to, you know, give this kid food. I have to get this kid, you know, out of whatever they'd gotten into." And I'm like, "Don't apologize. This is exactly the whole point of the article." And meanwhile, while I was talking to her, I had my laptop on the dryer, and I was like typing because I had to get Alex's gym clothes clean so I could drop them off to her before I went to work. So that's pretty much your day. It's all the different roles in your life are happening all at the same time.
Yeah, they all converge at the same time.
Yeah. I want to talk about the sweet things that our kids do for us. Sometimes that they don't quite turn out the way that they think they do, but sometimes they do. The one thing that I thought of with this segment is when I got the job as Metro Parent Editor, and like I said, I was coming off being a stay-at-home parent, so they wanted to decorate my cubicle, and I didn't know what they were going to do. They came up with this all on their own, and I'm not the type of person who cries about sentimental things.
Sure.
Like, you know, kindergarten graduations and all that stuff. I haven't had the 8th grade graduation yet. I might cry for that. I don't know. I'll get back to you next year. But, and like first communions, like, I mean, I'm involved and I'm like happy and I'm emotional, but I don't cry.
Sure.
So, and everybody, I mean, my family all knows that about me, but everybody in my life, my parents, my husband, my in-laws, they all knew that the girls were doing this for me, and they all told me, "Yeah, you're going to cry." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever." Like, I'm like, "What are they doing?" They're like, "Oh, you're going to cry." And so finally they gave it to me, and what they had done is they had taken all of their Legos. They have millions of Legos. I know your girls do too.
Legos
are the best toy ever, by the way. I love Legos.
True. Yes.
But they had taken their Legos, and they built a family. They built our family out of Legos. I'm pretty sure if you go into all their Lego things, there will be like disturbing, like they took the heads off of this one, and like, so I'm sure it's weird looking, but they actually look like it's the little minifigures they made of us.
Yep.
And then they made my cubicle and they made my desk. And
I remember that.
Yeah, yep. I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to post that with this. But they told me that I could put it on my desk, and they even put, because you know, I make, put notes in their lunches every day. They even made me a little sandwich out of Legos with a post-it note on it that had good luck at work and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
It was very sweet.
Yeah.
And then in Wendy's, Wendy's 9. She's never seen the movie Inception, but this was her Inception moment. She put a little tiny Lego piece on the corner of my desk, of my Lego desk. Sure. And I'm like, what's that? And she's like, that is the Lego structure that they had made. And I'm like, whoa, mind blown. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I did. I cried because it was so sweet. And they put so much effort into it. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. My 5-year-old Layla, she has this knack for just randomly complimenting.
Oh.
Like we'll be eating dinner or something, and she'll be like, "Mama, I love your hair," or "Mia,
totally
I love
random.
That hairband." Or yesterday I was getting her off the bus, and one of their friends gets off the bus with them, and she had a flower she made in art class, and we were 20, 30 feet ahead of them, and she turns around and she goes, "Kendall, I love your flower." So it's just she's just really sweet.
That's sweet.
That way.
She's noticing all that about people,
and it's just at random times, and it could be after a tantrum, it could just be any time. She'll just pop in with a compliment, and I know it's one thing that myself and my wife really just find adorable.
Oh yeah,
it's really sweet,
and it's amazing how good it makes you feel about yourself.
Right,
when you're,
right.
I'm like, well, thank you. Yeah. My sister actually says stuff like that. She's a second grade teacher, and when her students will say something like, "Mrs. Kovacic, I really love your shoes today," she's like, "I feel so good."
Yep.
Like, thank you.
Yep. And then my 8-year-old Mia, she loves drawing and just loves pictures and art of any kind, and all of the things she brings home, which is a ton of stuff. Both of them bring home a ton of art from school.
Yeah.
And it's great. And a lot of her stuff revolves around stuff that we've either done or that we've had fun doing or talked about.
Yeah.
So it's always pictures of my wife or me and the family and our dog. And so it's always really sweet. And we have a bunch of their artwork up in our house that we just have framed because it's really good.
It's good, right? You're like, I'm impressed with your art, your artistic skills.
We love getting that stuff from them, and we just find it really, really cute and sweet.
I actually have, when Alex was 2, she started drawing constantly, everywhere. She would draw pictures of Elmo, and it would be like, she was on a mission, drawing pictures of Elmo, and there's tons of them. Actually, we should do a podcast about that sometime, what to do with all of the artwork that you have, because it's crazy. But when I was going through it and I can't keep all this stuff, I actually cut out all the pictures of Elmo and then I put it in a collage and it's framed in our dining
room.
That's
awesome.
It's like, I can't get rid of your Elmo pictures.
It's so sweet, yeah.
I know. I don't know if you ever did anything that your parents tell you about, nice for them, but that was, you didn't realize all the stories that they were telling about you when you did it until you were an adult. I did, my sister and I actually did an anniversary dinner for my parents when we were, and I must have been probably around 12, so my sister would have been 8 or 9, and we have to make this anniversary dinner for them, and I am completely impressed by what we thought that we could cook. We made shrimp.
Nice.
And no, not nice. Because.
Ambitious?
Very ambitious. But, now looking back, I'm realizing, shrimp you're supposed to cook for 2 minutes max. And it's because you overcook it really easily.
Yeah.
We cooked that for, I got to say, 20 minutes.
So you made sure it was good and cooked.
Yeah. So we made sure that we weren't, and my parents are just like, this is so sweet, thank you, thank you. And, between courses, we'd go back in the kitchen. Little did we know that my parents were, putting it in napkins
right.
and that. Because my dad said later, he's like, as an adult, he told me this, 2 years ago. He's like, it was completely inedible.
Yeah, it's finally safe to tell you.
But the funny thing is, he has it. He still has the shrimp. And I'm like, that's disgusting.
That's
didn't it go bad? And he's like, no, Amy, you don't understand. It was completely so overcooked that there was nothing to go bad. It was fossilized. So this is what they have. And
wow.
But they were touched by it, and that's why he kept it.
Yep.
But so I'm looking forward to whatever the girls will continue to do for us in the future.
Yep. All right. Well, we can wrap this up the same way we did last time.
You got a good dad joke? What is it this week?
Well, do you want to hear a joke about paper?
Yes.
Never mind. It's terrible.
I don't get it.
So you can tear paper.
Oh, terrible. Oh, okay. Oh, man, I'm bad. I didn't get it. All right, well, on that note, we will say goodbye until next time. Yep.
Music for I'm Gonna Count to Three was provided by bensound.com.